Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to my talk on how did I create an operating system that's fully reproducible with reproducible builds. So, but first, I call it RBOS for the reproducible builds operating system. But maybe not all of you do know what are reproducible builds anyway. So, if you want to know, in a quick word, you start out with some source codes and compilers and other toolchain things, and maybe you have two different people trying to compile these sources, one guy here and one guy there, and if you really have reproducible builds, you can come to a binary that's the same in both places, times, and variants. That's a really basic thing, and that gives you nice properties. For example, if there's a random race condition and one of these builds does hit a random race condition, then you notice, oh, there's a difference, why is it there? And then you need to figure out which of the two results is the right one and make sure that there's no variation anymore. And in the operating system I did, I had packages, over 3,000 source packages, and as you might know, a source package produces multiple binary packages, so overall it produced over 30,000 binary packages, and all of them were a bit reproducible. And that was quite some work. And one of these packages even was called alt-image-build, and it was an RPM, but in the RPM was an image of a VM. And that was also a bit reproducible. That was also some effort. And then, of course, if you want to use OpenSUSE Linux, then you need some repository metadata to install packages that you need, and for that you create repo metadata with create repo, and I found it's not even hard to make that reproducible because you just need to normalize some m times and it embeds these n times in the metadata, and then you get from your identical packages identical repository metadata as well. So it doesn't even matter where you create your packages, where you create your repos, it's the same. So. And as part of that work, I also upstreamed most of the fixes that I did there, either to the very upstream or to OpenSUSE as the quasi upstream of this project. But unlike my other distribution project, the Slowroll, this one doesn't have a logo, it doesn't get security updates because it was just a proof of concept to show, yes, it can be done, and that's how to do these patches. And so, and to do this project, I took 4 months off work and had the fine people at the NLNet Foundation sponsor this work, and that worked really nice. And I documented all of what I did on this wiki page. It was split into three different parts. The part one was mostly about this ring zero, which is a terminology which we used in OpenSUSE for the bootstrap packages. That's a small set of packages that basically depend on each other because you need glibc to build bash, you need the bash to build glibc, and same for gzip and some others. And if you look here, you can see what's in there, like basic stuff, cmake to build and shadow. So that's not even enough to make the VM. So to make the VM, you need some more packages that are in ring one. And in there are even more, like X11 and some window manager and Firefox. So that's what we usually use to build testing ISOs for OpenQA when we do the staging projects to test if a new submission breaks something. And there's a larger part, like 3,000 packages. And with that, so you can then build this VM image and install graphics in there and run Firefox. And that's what I did. And basically, so this was a 4-month project. But things like Firefox that were not always reproducible, and but the work to get it reproducible, that was before the start of this actual project. So I started working on reproducibles in 2016, 9 years ago. And we did a lot of patches during these years, and that was just finishing all up and smoothing out some rough edges. In some places it needed some tricks and bit ugly work to get it reproducible, like with some race conditions, when you can't find why it's racing, then you just say, okay, we built this one in a one core VM, and then it can't race so much, and you always get the same result. It works, it's not nice, so that's maybe one of the things that I didn't get upstream into OpenSUSE, because maintainers say, yeah, but we want to build it faster, and then you can't. But for this proof of concept, I have my own fork, and then I could do these kinds of hacks. And can you guess what was the hardest package to get reproducible? One was LibreOffice, but I had nice help from one of the LibreOffice guys, but the other was Emacs. Because Emacs, it does this Lisp scheme thing of loading all these files and parsing it into memory, and then it takes a memory dump and puts it onto the disk as I will just load that later to resume there. And to get that reproducible, I needed to use a tool called DetTrace for deterministic tracer that uses ptrace to catch system calls like read here and get time and get randomness, and replaces these calls with deterministic variants. And then it still wasn't reproducible because I had to tell my KVM emulator to build always with the same emulated CPU, and then it became reproducible. Yeah, because obviously you need to query some details about the CPU running, and there was also some part where the dead trace got stuck when I ran it with more than one core, because there was some image magic libraries in Emacs, and this image magic library checks for how many CPUs do I have, and then it runs code in parallel. And, oh, yeah. It's a bit tricky, but in the end, I got identical Emacs binaries on different machines with different architectures, and that's part of Ring 1, actually. Yeah, that's the three parts, and the third part was actually about all of the rest. Like in factory, we have 16,000 packages these days, and the first part is only a bit over 3,000, so there's a large rest, and most of that rest is already actually reproducible. So the idea was to somehow gather it and say, okay, you have all these 15,000 something packages, and these are all reproducible and usable as part of this distribution. But it turned out that getting the first part reproducible took like half a year, and then factory had already moved on, so it didn't fully match, so that's a bit tricky. And the idea that I still want to do is we have most of that stuff upstream already in factory anyway, so we can just say, yeah, the remainder is also in factory, so factory is basically taking over the role of RBOS, except for some things that are not upstream. But then we can say, okay, for the remainder of the packages, we add some meta package that conflicts with the unreproducible packages. So you can say, I want RBOS reproducible builds. And when you have this meta package installed and you try to install some unreproducible, let's call it RabbitMQ server. Then it says, no, there's a conflict. You can't have reproducible builds and RabbitMQ server at the same time. So you need to decide what you want. And super, that's could use this existing super magic. And then you know about which packages are reproducible and which not. So that could work. And when you look at the progress, so I started somewhere here in 2016, and in 2017 I started recording how many packages. The green ones are reproducible, and the orange ones are the ones that have variations. And there's a very small red part at the top, that's packages that fail to build for some reason. And yeah, so I worked part-time on that for a long time. Sometimes I didn't even have time to care for the build failures. And this is where the blips come in. And the project happened around here. And when you look here, I have a zoom. There's this big drop in packages. And that was during this project. But much of it was actually due to work of a colleague, Friedrich Stripper, who did patches to our Java. And there were several hundred Java packages that suddenly became reproducible with just a few patches to XMarvin and Marvin and some plugins in Marvin that corrected timestamps. So that was really nice, and the other work you can see a bit here, where it increases the green part, while the other the unreproducible packages shrink there. Yeah, and currently we still have like 250 or 300, so it depends on how we count unreproducible packages in factory. And that's the stuff to work on. There's some left, but there's really this huge green part. It's like 98%, and that's already a huge achievement there. And so what else? Yeah, that's the slides part. And then we can have a bit of a look at things here. So no, let's actually look at the wiki. Where's my wiki? The image. If you want to look at an image, I had it downloaded just before. So you can un-RPM the image. And there, wait, do I have my part two? There I have the guide. You can run this format raw and a serial input and VNC. And then you can see the VM booting with a reproducible kernel and the reproducible init ID, and yeah, it's a normal OpenSUSE from last summer. And network, okay. And there it's booted even with serial console, so we can log in there. I think it's, is it Linux? Oh no. Ah. It's a good old not secret password. And so then you have a normal ext4 file system in there, and the only thing that's missing is the RPM database, because the RPM database was too hard to get reproducible. But you can get a new RPM database if you import the keys and and do super install with a list of packages that are included, but yeah, you don't need to. Yeah, and you can even set up graphics, I think. Yeah, here's a guide to how to insert graphics, and that just make it a bit bigger, and then install the graphic stuff like Gnome. I think, oh yeah, I got screenshots of that one here recorded where you can see how I run Firefox, it's a reproducible Firefox and a reproducible operating system, and it just worked. So, and one thing, you know, we have OBS and it can build packages and edit, yeah, but you can build packages in a different way. You can check out the sources and use OSCbuild to build a binary locally on your machine. And you can build packages in a third way. That's using a tool called pbuild. That's also part of our build package. And that pbuild takes a config like this one here. And the pbuild conf, that's actually like the XML that says, yeah, here's your compiler, here's your other stuff that you need to build and go. And then it starts building for the given architecture, this architecture, and you end up with a big directory with all the binaries that are produced. And for the ring zero, I even got it so far that I could download a package that was built by OBS, run rpm minus minus del sign to remove the signature, and then I compared it to the OSC build result and the pbuild result, and all three builds were exactly identical. And in some places it didn't match in the first place, and then I had to check why didn't it do this, and compare logs, and sometimes there's minor differences in how it's set up, and it can matter. So that's one part of the config, and the other is like the normal PRJ conf, except it's a file that you check out and put into the right place, and then pbuild uses that stuff. And somewhere on the very bottom, yeah, that's most of it is from factory, and somewhere on the very bottom is yeah, this is ring zero of my reproducible distribution, and I disable profiling because things like GCC and Python, they don't build reproducible with profiling. Actually, for Bash, I found that I can get Bash reproducible even with profiling if the profiling runs under dettrace, because dettrace normalizes all the system calls, and then suddenly it's fully deterministic profiling, and then you get deterministic binaries out as well. So there's a way to get both the performance of profiling and deterministic results, but it's a bit hard still. And yeah, this one was for Python, and the no store expand spec, that's for RPM, because newer RPM versions started to expand the spec file and put it into the source RPM header, and I didn't want that, because we have things like percent jobs in our spec files, and that gets expanded to the number of cores in your build machine, and you don't want to be that part of your build result. And that needed a patch that upstream rejected, so to get factory to build reproducible, we dropped all the usages of jobs and replaced them with other things like percent make build, and that uses a different way. And then it's reproducible even if you expand all the spec file. And now that's something else. Oh, and dist URL is another thing. That's a feature of OBS where if you build a package, it will put a link to the sources of your package with the exact SHA or MD5 of your package as part of the header. And it was just easier to disable it on the OBS side to get the same binaries in OBS and local builds. And then there's a release number in OBS by default. If you check in, then it increases the first number, and if it does automatic rebuilds because you change dependencies, like you have a new compiler, then it does an automatic rebuild, then it increases the second number, but here I wanted just a fixed number, so I always create a 1.1 build, so I had identical yeah, so I didn't have to check with OBS, so what's the current number and which one to use now, and pbuild couldn't take any of that anyway. So, yeah, that was how I got the same brain results. Yeah. Do we have questions already? Someone questions. There, Saif has a question.
The trick to getting Emacs to build reproducible, was it basically just to force just one CPU for the build, or?
No.
Is it significantly slowing down the build process, or were it actually code fixed? I mean, I remember that a few years ago when the parallel gzip stuff appeared, that people said, oh yeah, but it will no longer be a binary identical compressed file, so that was sometimes rejected for because you distribute MD5 sum or a checksum of your archive on some FTP server some years ago, some more years ago. And so is this nowadays, is the code basically fixed so that also parallel implementations take care to do identical results or more often or more often not?
No, Emacs is still an open issue. So for this project, I did some heavy patches where I added a special file that said run it with jobs equals one and the CPU emulation. That patch was not accepted yet. So OBS still builds with the CPU, with the actual CPU host of the build machine. But it also needed a patch. Where's my patch? I think in the spec. And the spec is here. And there was one section. So we build require dead trace. And the fake tools J1, which also run. So they reduce the number of CPUs artificially by changing the proxy something online and the dead trace. No, that's in some patch, and the patch is this one here. So there's one critical step where it runs tmax to create this pdump file, and that runs under dead trace. With a timeout, so if anyone happens to run it in a 4-core VM, then it will just timeout here and fail and not get stuck forever. And the dead trace is really doing the hard work of making it deterministic. And for that, I had to apply some patches, and our nice Fabian Vogt helped me there, because dead trace was done by some university people like 5 years ago, and during these 5 years there were new syscalls added to Linux, and new glibc uses these new syscalls, and then suddenly dead trace doesn't know how to handle these syscalls and just errored out. And mentioning a clone 3 syscall there. And the trick was to just say clone 3, we don't know that, use a fallback of clone 2 or something. So Emacs was hard. There was LibreOffice, and we had done these upstream patches for LibreOffice, but it still needed some integration work on OpenSUSE, but that was not that heavy. Like, needed some other packages. One other package patched with a certain patch to normalize timestamps and some LibreOffice created files. More questions? Another one here.
Hi. So what is now the long-term effect of RBOS? Is RBOS something that you think stays there parallel to OpenSUSE, or will it be integrated and absorbed, something like that?
Yeah, so it's more was a one-time effort. So I was thinking about doing a refresh for this year, but that's another effort. So I don't need to do much patches, but pull in the right versions of stuff and do that again. And more the idea was to integrate all the patches into factory or into SlowRun maybe, because I have more control there and can build my GCC without profiling. And then we can have Slora, which is always updated to the latest factory, and apply some tweaks there to get it more reproducible. And over time, maybe just upstream it into factory, so I don't have to have this diff towards factory.
My question is, there was a presentation at FOSDEM about reproducible builds across the Linux distributions, and with a small number of architectures, we have forwarded you also how to request S390X VMs. Do you know the status of that, that you can use it?
No, I don't. And cross-Linux reproducibility is hard because then you need the same compiler on everyone, every distribution. And the way some people got that to work, like I think Yocto or some embedded Linuxes do it, they just bring their own compiler sources and then they build their own compiler with your system compiler, and then their own compiler is able to produce bit identical binaries on any Linux where you bootstrap it. But yeah, basically you bring a lot of sources along, and yeah, maybe you could even use this RBOS snapshot, because it also has its own GCC and its own glibc, whatever you need to build, and you just need to have some way to bootstrap it and can bootstrap it somewhere else, and it shouldn't make a big difference. So in that way it could work. Yeah, and this one I only did for x86-64, because that's what I have machines to compile fast stuff. And yeah, in principle it should work for other architectures the same way. Except DATRACE. DATRACE is currently only for this architecture, because it does some magic stuff like having its own VDSO segment to override things like get time of day that's stored in there. Questions? So, no more questions. Oops. So that's how the repositories are layered out. If you want to look, Ring 0 was a bootstrap one, Ring 1 was extended applications layer, and Ring 2, I think I just took a snapshot of some factory, some thing, so that you get more applications if you really want. Yeah. Yes? Oh, one more question.
You mentioned the package that can be installed, which conflicts with the non-reproducible ones.
Yes, it's not yet part of this one, but I created such a thing for SLES. Let me find it. And there it is. It's very simple. There's a spec file, and in the spec file it says, yeah, in SLES we have unreproducible packages, and there should even be Emacs on that list somewhere. Yeah, so it says, yeah, there it conflicts with Emacs, so you know when you want all reproducible builds, then time is up. Okay, thanks.